From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. With this program, he begins an overview of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Upon arriving in Philippi, Paul has set foot on European soil for the first time. Although his success in this pagan city was limited, he did see some significant conversions, such as Lydia and the Philippian jailer. From these small beginnings, a church grew, and in many ways had an effective witness for Christ. Writing from captivity in a Roman dungeon some years later, Paul manifested some concerns about the state of the Philippian church. In particular, he noted three dangers confronting those believers: division, Jewish legalists, and a tendency among some to think that because they were no longer under the Mosaic law, they could live any way they pleased. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce this study of Philippians under the title, A Joyous and Victorious Christian Life. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Help Wanted. The text is Matthew chapter 20 and verse 7. Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Yes, there is work in Christ's vineyard for old bodies. It is the 11th hour, and yet he will let us work. What great grace is this! Surely every old man ought to jump at this invitation. After men are advanced in years, nobody wants them as servants. They go from shop to shop, and employers look at their gray hairs and shake their heads. But Jesus will engage old people and give them good wages too. This is mercy indeed. Lord, help the aged to enlist in thy service without an hour's delay. But will the Lord pay wages to worn-out old men? Do not doubt it. He says he will give you what is right if you will work in his field. He will surely give you grace here and glory hereafter. He will grant present comfort and future rest, strength equal to your day, and a vision of glory when the night of death comes on. All these the Lord Jesus will as freely give to the aged convert as to the one who enters his service in his youth. Let me tell this to some unsaved old man or old woman, and pray the Lord to bless it for Jesus' sake. Where can I find such persons? I will be on the lookout for them, and kindly tell them the news.
Grace and glory fill my heart.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Now we're returning to the theme today of the epistles of Paul. We're taking 1 week on each of the epistles, and we come to the book of Philippians. This is the sixth study of the epistles of Paul. We're taking the main theme of each epistle and applying it in a simple and practical way, as I think the apostle would have it done. Philippians, we're going to read together in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to commence to read at verse 1. There be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. For these studies, I don't take a text as such. The whole book is our text. But I think the last two verses we read together in many ways sum up the heart of the message, where Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The church at Philippi was a miracle of God's grace. When you read the book of Acts, you'll discover that this church had a very auspicious beginning, and yet, paradoxically, it had a very inauspicious beginning. Paul went there, and this is the auspicious part, Paul went there at the direct command of God. You remember he sought to go into Asia, and the Lord would not allow him. And then he sent him this vision of a man from Macedonia who implored him, come over and help us. And so assuredly gathering that the Lord would have him and his companions go there, Paul set out for Philippi, the chief city of Macedonia. That was a very auspicious beginning, because Paul went there knowing beyond all doubt that he was called of God. He had the definite, direct, up-to-date leading of the Lord. He was going in the very center of the will of God. God, therefore, was personally responsible for everything that Paul would do and for everything that Paul would come up against in this Macedonian situation. He went with this auspicious commission from the Lord. However, when he got there, the beginnings were very inauspicious. When you read Acts chapter 16, you discover that Paul's first meetings were with a few women by a riverbank at a prayer meeting. What kind of a prayer meeting? We really aren't told. Certainly we can gather it was not a Christian prayer meeting. But away he went there to meet with these few women. At first there was only one woman convert. Then there was another woman convert. Not at the prayer meeting this time, but as Paul came face to face with a demonized girl, he set her free by the power of Christ. And she was the second convert. That raised all sorts of opposition. When you start invading the devil's kingdom, he gets mad. When it costs his servants money, they get mad. That's what happened in Philippi, with the result that Paul was thrown into jail. He may well have sat back, though he didn't, mind you. He may well, if he had been like you and me, have sat back and said, "Lord, you sent me here. I've seen a couple of women saved, and now I'm languishing in jail. What's the big deal here? What is the reason for the special vision? What's the reason for the special call?" Paul had more sense than to waste his time in such foolish thoughts. As he was in jail at midnight, he and his companion Silas sang and they gave thanks to the Lord. They were making the prison rafters ring with the mighty sound of the praises of God. Now, I think Paul would have been a good Free Presbyterian minister. You ask me why I think that? Well, when he sang, there was an earthquake. And I think if you hear the most of us sing, you wonder why there's not an earthquake. Well, he sang, there was an earthquake. Prison doors burst open. The keeper of the prison, whose life depended on keeping these notorious prisoners safe under his control, was on the point of suicide. Paul came forth. Instead of running for his life, he ran straight to the prison guard and he says, "Do yourself no harm." That night he led the guard. He led his family to Christ. Not a big beginning, but that was the commencement of one of the greatest churches in all the New Testament. In fact, there are some ways, you can't say in every way, for we don't know enough to say that, but there are certainly some ways in which undoubtedly this church in the city of Philippi, with such an inauspicious beginning, with such a paltry number of initial converts, converts of no high rank in society, no great political position, no great personal talents, just a few very ordinary people saved. This church, with such a beginning, became in many ways the very greatest of all the churches Paul ever saw come into existence. We find from the very beginning of this epistle it was a well-organized church, unlike some of the others. The organization got off on biblical lines to a very quick start, and so Paul could write to the people there, to the saints, with the bishops or the elders and the deacons. And there you've got the constitution according to the New Testament of a local church. You've got the saints. You've got the elders, and you've got the deacons. I'm not going to get into church government today, but these people had it right. It was well organized. Unlike other churches, in fact, totally unlike every other church, this church stood fully, without apology, in support of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In all the other churches, there were difficulties. To some extent, this church supported him far more than any other. this church, whether he was in bonds or whether he was free, was with him in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So it was a great, great church. And yet, as you read this epistle, you discover that Paul feared for the church, for there were incipient dangers. You see, no matter how well a church is going, you need to be on your guard. Any church that sits back and says, well, now things are going very nicely, we're orthodox, we're outside the camp, we're taking our stand for God, we're united, God is meeting all our needs, we can sit back and be happy. Take no measures for defense against the attack of the devil. That church is committing suicide. This was a great church. And yet, Paul could see that there was, first of all, always the constant danger of division. In chapter 2 and chapter 4, he alludes to this. Even if we had gone on in chapter 2, we'd have found him speaking of disputings and murmurings. He speaks of vainglory. This is one epistle that gives women greater prominence than any other epistle. Here you'll see that there are women undoubtedly of great use in the work of the church, and yet this epistle, which shows women at their greatest, also shows them at their weakest, because they were the ones, chapter 4, who were bringing in their personal differences, and you had one sister against another sister, and tongues were starting to wag, and there were divisions. What a tragedy! What a tragedy when divisions start to challenge the very welfare and existence of one of the greatest churches that God ever brought into existence. Then he saw the constant threat from the legalists, the Judaizers. They weren't strong in Philippi, and I think it's very clear from the tone of the letter that the people at Philippi had not succumbed to them, but nonetheless, they were there trying insidiously to get into the church and to turn it away from the simplicity and the purity of the gospel and turn it away from standing with the Apostle Paul. The Judaizers always wanted the Gentiles to feel that they weren't real Christians until they had submitted to the rites of circumcision and to the other observances of the Jewish religion. And then, either through them or in answer to them, it's difficult to say, there was the danger of sensualism or antinomianism. Chapter 3, 17 onwards will show you that there were people who were trying to get in, who were a people who were so tied to earth that all they thought of was the sensation of the moment. These are people who had their belly as their god, their lusts as their master. Sensualism, worldliness, living for the flesh, that is always a danger in the Church of Christ. Put those three things together, and I tell you, those are the abiding dangers for every church that would seek to do a work for God. Division. Drifting from the purity of the gospel. And then the depravity of wicked worldly living. Those are the dangers that afflicted this church and that afflict every church that would do a work for God. So Paul wrote to the Philippians this short letter to encourage the brethren. Even though he was in Rome in a prison, he could write for their encouragement.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.